will be still.
Yes.
And know that you are God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you.
Jesus.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Jesus.
Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He will hear our prayers.
Yes.
He will answer our prayers.
Ah.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise
the
Lord.
King of all glory.
Lord. Oh, that is good. That was good. It goes in so much with the 14th chapter of St. John.
Yeah.
But before I enter into that, I just want to release something over y'all today. John 10th chapter and 10. He said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundant.
Amen.
I release abundant life over you today.
Amen.
Can you receive it?
Amen.
Yes,
amen. I mean abundant life.
Yes, Lord.
Not as the world gives. No. Abundant life. Praise God. So I am not going to be doing nothing new today. I'm still teaching on communion, but Apostle and David, they are doing a good job of teaching on. What are they teaching on, Clay?
Authority.
Authority of who?
The believer.
The believer has authority. And I believe the church has an authority that they're not using. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to use that authority in our everyday life. Okay, let me get off of that, because last Sunday, I apologize to y'all again. I went way over. I mean, I left them with almost zero time. But I had to set some foundation of authority of the believer, the place that he prepared for us. So today, I'm not going to do a lot of teaching. I'm just going to revisit the 14th chapter. And I have Mary Ward going to do a little help today, too. And praise God. God is just so good. I'm going to get right into it, because I have my phone here. I'm not going over time today. I'm going to be a good girl today. But like I said, I had to lay a couple of foundations. Praise God. So everybody know that place that he prepared for us now, don't we?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's start off in the... let's back up and think about what was going on, that he had to start the 14th chapter out. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Now, in the natural, they had every reason to have a troubled heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was coming at them at once.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And it wasn't coming from the outside. It was coming from the inside. The person that they had devoted their life to. They wasn't living with Jesus on the weekend. They was there 24/7. They followed him. They had given up all for him.
Mm-hmm.
And now he tells them, one of you going to deny me.
Mm.
And then another one, you know, really what he said in essence, that all you going to leave me. All of y'all going. And you know, he was putting out some things, and this is at communion time.
Mm-hmm.
This is at a time when they were just looking. And then he introduced himself as the Passover.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the land we living in today, it's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn that TV on, your heart would be troubled. If you listen at everything they tell you, your heart would be troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what he's telling his disciples, the reason he had it written, because we wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
but we're here now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the same thing for his mm-hmm. disciples. He told the Lord, I pray that you don't take them out, but you keep them in here. Keep them from the evil one. Keep them in here. And he said, I don't only pray for these 12 you see here, but I'm praying for all them that will come afterward.
Right.
He prayed for you.
Amen.
Praise God. Let me tell you, if Jesus prayed for you, you might as well get in agreement with him.
Because
it don't come to pass.
Amen.
Praise God. He's up there interceding for us.
Amen.
He's got a plan. Don't let your heart be troubled. His plan is always better than the devil.
Amen.
And not only that, the devil planning as he go, but God planned before the foundation of the world. He's so advanced. So he's telling his disciples that night, let not your heart betray. He's trying to calm them. Because if you got a troubled heart, you cannot receive the things of God. God was trying to pull them into a new. God is trying to pull the church into a new right now.
Yeah.
But they want to stand still. They almost had a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to pull them into a new. He's got a plan.
Amen.
And it's a good plan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But a troubled heart cannot receive.
Mm-mm.
A troubled heart cannot receive from God.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid. He said, let not your heart. This is a command. This is a commandment. Let not your heart. And it's your responsibility. You can walk around with a troubled heart. Troubled heart come to... All of us have been exposed to a troubled heart at some time. But it don't have to stay there. It's up to you whether you let it continue to be troubled. So Jesus is trying to bring some calm in the storm. They're in the storm here. And John don't even talk about the Passover. He hops right into the foot washing.
Yeah.
Because among all that, they were bickering among themselves. John said, if y'all don't straighten this up, you ain't gonna need the outside. The inside will hurt you. When the church is bickering among themselves. And you know what they want to know? Who's going to be the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who's going to, when he gets set up kingdom, because he, in the 12th verse, 12th chapter, he had came in on that coat. And the people and the disciples thought, hey, this Roman government is about to change. He's going to change this crazy government. And they were just so excited and they were just bickering between who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to be vice president? Who's going to be... I think I should be vice president because I revealed to him that he was the Christ. You know, and they were just bickering among themselves. And John, being that disciple of love, he forgot about the cup. He forgot about the bread. He went straight to the foot. He was the only disciple that picked up the foot washing. Because over in Luke, they were doing a lot of... Over in Luke, they were doing a lot of strife. Luke called it strife. They were at the Passover. Luke said they were in strife. And we know where there is strife, there is every evil work. So John had to write about foot washing. And after Jesus washed their foot, their feet, they realized the greatest one in God's kingdom is going to be the one that serve.
Amen.
Serve others. Okay. Let's revisit the second verse. He says, let not your heart be troubled. The cure for trouble is to believe.
Mm-hmm.
He told them the cure. He said, trust me. If you trust me, you won't have a troubled heart. You may not, he said, you got to understand everything that's going on that night. He said, but just trust me for who I am, for who you've seen in the years with me. You may not know all about me, but I'm asking for trust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's telling them, he's trying to tell them, I'm moving y'all into a new a new place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That second verse, the church world and people have messed up so bad. They're thinking that God was preparing a place for them, and people talk about build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. And then they say, you know, they read this at funerals that say, he gone to the mansion in the sky, got a mansion. You know, everybody want a mansion in the sky. But Jesus wasn't looking for a home for you. He was looking for a home for his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because his Father had moved out of the building. Jesus told those religious leaders in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, my Father's moving out your house and your house going to become desolate. God was moving out of a building, and he's moving in believers on the inside of believers. He was exchanging. So Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are going to be many dwelling places. Many of, if I go, I'm on. Be able not to just make room for y'all 12, but many dwelling places.
Mm-hmm.
My Father got a new home. He's moved, and to really verify that, the 23rd verse says, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home. See, he's looking for homes for his Father. Mansion was that word that they could only describe as many dwelling places. In the past, when Jesus talked about his Father's house, and even in the Old Testament, Jesus lived in the, God lived in the temple. He lived in a box. He lived in a certain place, the Holy of Holies. But now Jesus said, we got a new plan now. And he's coming out of there. And like Jesus told those religious leaders, my Father's moving out.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mad at Jesus. They're like, what in the world is he talking about? God is moving out of our house. But God is, and the place he prepared for us, we saw that he went to, now Rena, I'm so, I said I wasn't going to teach this again. The reason I'm so interested in y'all understanding the 14th chapter, because when you understand the 14th chapter, you'll understand that you are to take up Jesus' ministry.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The 14th and 12th verse read, very, very, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also in greater works than these.
Mm-hmm.
What he was telling the people, what he was telling his disciples and us, his disciples to come, that he was getting ready to shift his ministry to us, the church.
Amen.
I know when we say ministry, you say Fresh Start and put our names on it, but no. We are doing Jesus' ministry on the earth.
Amen.
The head.
Yes.
So if you're doing Jesus' ministry on the earth, you have to ask him, how do you want this done?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? He has to tell you. He has to guide and lead you. But he has shifted his ministry to us. And he said, the same works you see me do, you're going to be able to do them. And boy, we got a act to follow. Because
right.
Jesus did some works. But he said, and greater than these.
Greater.
Now, we did a snapshot of the greater works. People try to say the greater works are, we're going to do more of it. Now, the greater work, the snapshot of the greater work is different from the works. The greater work, the snapshot we gave you was when Peter stood up and preach and got 3,000 saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greater work.
Yes, amen.
Healing doing is our works, and they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you said, but the greater work that he stood up. Come on in. The 14th chapter, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled twice.
Yeah.
Did y'all know it was twice in there he said, let not your heart be troubled?
Mm-hmm.
He said it two times. The 27th verse of the 14th chapter. And if he's telling you twice, he's really serious about this thing. You know, he told Adam to keep the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart is like the garden. You got to keep it because out of it flows the issues of life.
Yes, amen.
You got to keep it from being troubled. Okay, the 27th verse said, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you, not as the world give it. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
He said that twice in that same chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Now the peace he left with us was through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He was also telling you he's going to send the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit came with such... You got peace with you 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You got trouble out here, but you got peace with you. And you can lean on that and rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, Holy Spirit, I need some peace here.
Mm-hmm.
I speak peace over this situation.
Yes.
The situation speaking to you is saying, oh no, I'm going to bring you trouble. Oh no, I'm going to speak peace to this situation. And many times, most people just gang up with the enemy. They speak just whatever the enemy said. It's going to be a, when they said, this is going to be a bad day. Oh, no. Don't agree with the enemy, but you don't know what you can agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can release your peace.
He's given our authority to the devil when she says that.
Amen, amen. Mary, go ahead and do the 13th verse. She's going to help me with the 13th verse. And as soon as she does it, David is coming up.
Okay. And whatsoever ye shall ask in the words demand in my name,
mm-hmm.
that's Jesus' name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
And the word is demand. We never demand of God. We demand the spiritual evil behind it, the devil and his cohorts. So when you stand up and demand something in Jesus' name, that he has to do it because you're demanding in that name. We're not demanding God, we're demanding the evil spirits. And from John 6, God just led me this when I started reading this. The name of Jesus, you have to demand in the name of Jesus. And I've shared this with David before. He asked, how do you do the works of God? This is part of the works. This is key to it. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the works of God, that ye believe, not only believe on him who he has sent. In other words, you got to believe on the name of Jesus. And also he took me, and this is his, in John 3, and this is his commandment, that you should believe, this is Jesus speaking in 1 John, the name that you believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandments. So it's
Amen.
Very important to walk in love. But you've got to believe on the name of Jesus. And also he took me the Psalms. He exalts his word above his name. Okay, there it is. Use his name. But what did we just read? The word of God. That commandment is exalted above the name of Jesus. So when you use the name of Jesus in this scripture form, you are powerful, very powerful. And I've got just a few little things to say. And since we use our authority is the right to use power. Satan lost his
the
power.
The legal right. You got it.
Legal.
Legal. It's legal.
It's legal. It's the right to use that power.
Amen.
The power in the name of Jesus that you believe. Satan lost his power when he rebelled against God. The only authority Satan is functioning under now is human power and authority.
That's good.
He is just an angel. He is fallen. He lost. He has no power. And the church can exalt him more than they should. This is somebody that's nothing.
But the way he does it is through our power. Mm-hmm. When you sin, you are empowering the devil. Put that in you. Mm-hmm. When you sin, you are empowering the devil. And it don't matter how small it is. You cut on TV, all of a sudden you see somebody not married going to live together, or they're going to sleep together that night. But the story's good. I have that you go ahead and watch it. Who are you empowering? Are you empowering God in you, or are you empowering the devil?
What?
When you listen to something, you want to speak something, and you speak it out, and it's not good and edifying, you're empowering the devil, not God. So it's very important that he exalts this word above his name. And we all got a revelation about how powerful the name of Jesus, because that's the works. You've got to believe in the name of Jesus first, and then you can do all the other.
Amen. That's good, Mary.
Very good.
Hey, come on a little closer in the middle, because I want you to blow your trumpet. Now, the place that he prepared, that he said he prepared for us, that he was going to prepare for us, you know, many people are still looking for those mansions. But when he went up, the Bible tells me he sat down. And not only did we sit down, not only did he sit down, the book of Ephesians said we sit there with him.
Amen.
That is a prepared place, a place of authority.
Amen.
That's the right hand.
Mary,
the
right hand. And I want to thank you because you said that so much to us, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that's becoming deeper and deeper in every one of us because we hear it and hear it and hear it. You're good about doing that. Thank you. We are a place of authority in Jesus.
Amen. I place that on my refrigerator. Every time I open it, I quote it. And I go, whoa, boy. I'm going to get the eggs out. But I'm doing it with authority.
And then that comes out to you all the time, to us.
Yes, yes. And I place it on my refrigerator because I know I'm going in there.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going in there. Praise God. We are seated with him. He prepared that place for us.
Yes.
Not mansions that we think, oh, he got a mansion for me. When I die, I'm going to my mansion. Demon made a son, going to the mansion in the sky. You know. But you're the bride. He got much more prepared for you than a mansion. Don't lower yourself. Mm-hmm. Just a mansion.
I've heard so many testimonies about people who go to heaven. Uh-huh. And they all have one thing in common. They all tell them in heaven, we're servants to one another. Mm. We're all servants.
Amen.
That's good.
That's
love.
Yep. That's good. Go ahead, David. Blow your trumpet.
Last week we was talking, you know, Matthew chapter 8, about the Roman, you know, captain there, and him understanding authority, plus him being a man, you know, Jesus said, great faith. But we're seeing that from his, I asked the question, by him being a captain, did this qualify him for great faith? And the answer was no, because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word.
Yes.
But we talked about the word Lord last week and what it means. It's a place of authority. And, you know, we keyed in on that. But this week, I want to talking about the military, I want to kind of reflect back and explain some things to you. You know, I'm going to ask you a question first. By him being a captain, did this place him in understanding authority? Well, no, not really.
Hmm.
Not really. Because there's a captain in the book of Acts, too, that he was over 100 men. You know, so that, you know, yes, he was an authority figure and all, but in the military, you know, when they took us into boot camp there and shaved our heads and give us some new clothes, they also give us a little red book. It was a pretty good size thing, called it Little Red Monitor. And you had to have that little red monitor everywhere you went. You'd march around and just everywhere you went, you had to have that little red monitor. And you would read and study in it. The chain of authority. Chain of authority.
Oh, okay.
Your chain of authority. From old Lieutenant Dan, who's over you, or whoever it was, all the way up to the President of the United States. Not only did you have to know their rank or title, like Secretary of Defense, you had to know their name also.
Yes, yes.
You know, Vice President of the United States, you had to know his name also. President of the United States, his name also. Commandant of the Marine Corps, had to know his last name. All the way chain of command, you had to know this. But here we was, I was a private. You know, everybody was private in boot camp. But we understood authority because we understood chain of command. And they drove this into me. You know, but as I got out of boot camp, though, you know, Proverbs says it's a sport for a fool to do mischievousness. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I chose a bunch of foolish friends while I was in there, and we did a lot of foolish things. And we get a lot of trouble. I mean, I get ranked, and I get busted. I get ranked, I get busted. And, you know, we have what we call office hours, and you go, when you got trouble, and you go before the captain, and old Captain, or Lieutenant, who was over you, and he, but at that level, he just had so much authority, you know, punishment he could do for you. Take a stride, $250 fine, 14 days restriction. You know, that was about it for captain. That's about the max he can max out on you. And I had that done to him at times too. But you know, I got in trouble one time. I said, man, old Cap, he don't like me no how. So I'm gonna go to the colonel. You know, them old eagles on that, you know. So anyway, I got lined up to go over to the colonel, and I kept thinking in my mind, boy, you gonna go over and you gonna tell him, set him straight on what you think about the Marine Corps, you know. So, but my daddy, he always used to, I remember my daddy telling me, boy, when it comes to your butt, let your head do the thinking. So anyway, I go in to the colonel there, and there's a sergeant major, there's a colonel, and he read the charges against me. And you know, I understood that authority. You know, this old boy, he not only busted, he shipped me off to prison. That kind of authority. And I remember, I was about 18, 19 years old, my knees got to shaking so bad. I'd never been that scared in my life for the authority that man had. But you know that old man, he was a wise old colonel. And this one step below general, colonel's right below one star general, you know. And he is merciful to me that day. He really was. He gave me about the same busting an old captain could, you know, bust me the rank or whatever. And like I said, he is merciful, but he was higher ranked, yet merciful. And tell you another war story right quick. While I was over there too, we was gonna have a big parade there, you know. And the base I was on, it was where all the, there's like five bases there on Okinawa. And I was at the main one, you know, where all the generals and, you know, the big wheels hung out. So anyway, we'd been working on this Jeep, was gonna have a parade there that, you know, coming up. And we got a call up there from where all the brass was, said, bring the Jeep up there, we want to check it out. So the guy there, he said, man, I'm gonna jump there and run that Jeep up there and let me look it over. We done, you know, painted it up, cleaned it up, his old wore out Vietnam stuff. That's all we had, you know, had to do the best we could with it. So I drove it up there and went in. I figured a sergeant major or somebody like that would come out and, you know, check it out, say, well, that's good, you know, okay, you know, whatever. But guess who come out? The general. He come out, he looked it over. Let's go for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
He had favor. Jump in. You know, here I'm, you know, cruising through the base, this old general. This old boy, he's over about 20,000 men, you know. He got a lot of power and authority. But you know what? That was the nicest man you'd ever met. Where you from, son? You know, did a good job driving, you know. And he was the nicest man I'd ever met, or one of the nicest guys you could ever meet, but yet he had that great authority. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to play a game right quick, and then I'm going to read the scripture.
That was because he understood authority. Understanding authority is meaning that you're not making people feel low. and stuff like that. You're bringing them up.
Yes. Yeah.
That's authority. Some people in authority, oh my God, you're like, they don't need that. They talk down to people. They, you know, try to make you feel the worst of worse. But if you really understand, this man, he was under authority, and he understood authority. He said, I'm a